What's up, guys? Chris Steve here, and welcome back to the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with
Coach Nick.
Coach Nick, and today we're going to be talking all about a little bit of a voice in our head. Like, it's a song, it's a training, it's a guiding motion. But I'd like to start with a little bit of a story. The story happened yesterday, and this story happened at the moment in my gym, and I'm praying. Yesterday was okay, and you know, I think all of us have. It's always this big effort, this mental game, this physical game, and we know it's going to hurt, and we know at the end it's going to push that button. At the time, so yesterday, I'm training and I'm staring at this weight. I'm on the bar and I was about to do it at the front squat. I'm staring at this weight and I knew that it was within my capacity, and this took so long for me to walk up to the bar. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there talking to myself and giving myself a test. So much so that after my training session, when I went back inside my house, my partner, she comes over to me and she's like, "Robbie, who are you talking to in the gym?" And I was like, "Oh, well, what do you mean? I was talking to me. I've got to set myself up to do this thing, right?" And basically, while I was sitting there, I was talking to myself and going, "Okay, so you can do it. You can do this, and you just got to go up and do it." But then another part of me was, you know, just like kind of devil on my shoulder. I was like, "Oh no, it's going to be really hard. It's going to suck. Your legs are going to burn. It's going to be a lot of effort. Maybe not." And then maybe the angel come back to my shoulder, and it was like, "Oh, well, that's only going to be a minute. It's really quick. You can get it over and done with." And then the devil kind of comes back and says, "Oh, well, maybe you could just sit here for a little bit longer and take a little bit longer than the rest."
The devil also always says, "It doesn't really matter if you don't do it today."
So basically, I'm on this back and forth, this pros and cons, this kind of push and pull, as you will, of, you know, am I going to do this exercise? And I think it was so hard because on my meso cycle, this week is kind of like the end of my meso, meaning week four, so I'm trying to take most of my sets to, you know, close to bed, right? Compared to week one, where you maybe like a zero type of thing, you know, week two is really harder, week three is really harder, week four is going to be the hardest. I mean, this RPE of, you know, 9 or 10, or this RAR of 1 or 0. So I knew that it's good.
And
I know that the week before I did 8 reps. So I knew that, okay, well, this week I at least have to do 9. So if you do one more rep than last week, it's a little bit harder than me. So I eventually cut myself off to go under the bar, get myself on the bar, and all right, ready to do it. So the rep number 1, LT. All right, no. Rep number 1 was good. It was good to go.
Two sets.
Rep number 2 comes in. Great. Rep number 3, a little bit harder, but it's getting there. Mm-hmm. Rep number 4, right? Halfway mark.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, the bells start ringing. Like, great, halfway. Cool. Yeah. And do you do this where you get halfway through something and then you start, like, counting down?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, rep 1, rep 2, rep 3, rep 4, and then you do 4 more left, 3 more left, 2 or yeah. 1 more, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, now I'm like, all right, 4 more reps, 3 more reps. And I get to rep number 6, and I was like, "Oh, shit, this is getting tough." And rep number 7, which was the one before I was going to get to number 8, that was the hardest one.
Yeah,
it's always the one just before the last.
Yeah.
I think part of it is this, like, mental game. Yeah. So I know that, like, "Oh, I did 8 last time. I should be able to do 8 now." And this mental game is, "Oh, well, maybe if you stop here, like, no one's going to know if you quit, right?"
That's another thing.
And then I'm pushing through, and I get to rep number 8. Right? I get rep number 8, and I was like, "Well, great, we're here. Okay, well, now let's go do one more, and then we're done." So I do rep number 9. And then once I did rep number 9, I'm like, "Well, I can't stop rep number 9. I've got to at least get to number 10, right?" So I lowered myself to number 10, and right at the bottom, I was like, "Oh, shit." So now, you know, big grind, step back up, and I'm like, "Whew." And then I had that split thought in my mind, like, "Maybe I have to do 11." And then I was like, "Okay, no, it's really slow. Let's just stop it there." And I really racked away. And then, "Whew," that was
See, that feeling of that feeling and that what happened to your body, that's all you actually needed. You didn't need to have 11. That would have been sort of starting to go into the whole, I suppose, ego training. You know, you knew when to stop, but you knew what you needed to do.
Yeah.
And that's also another thing where you need to get in and get out and get what you need to get done.
Yeah.
Done. And it's going to hurt. You need to at least put yourself in the gym. It's sort of like that minimum to get the maximum.
on right now. My legs are, if you're watching this on YouTube, you probably see me squirming a few times from my legs.
Yeah.
Right now.
And that's
really
good for you. You did it.
I did it. But at the time, I didn't want to do it.
No.
And the only thing that really got me through was myself.
Yeah.
And self-talk is important. Right?
Yeah.
Self-talk really dictates, you know, are we going to do something or we're not going to do something? Are we going to do something to an effective level or are we going to overdo it? And it really comes down to, you know, our self-talk or like our ego, like do we think of ourselves? And then also, I guess, our identity. And I've spoken about, you know, the identity across different mediums and the challenge, live videos and podcasts. But really, the challenge begins when we change our identity. When we change our identity, that's when we start changing our self-talk. You know, what we think of ourselves, what words we use when we're describing our actions or our abilities or, you know, helping ourselves to do things or not do things and what we're talking about. So I guess across your fitness career, tell us a little bit about self-talk, like maybe when you're weightlifting or doing triathlons or bodybuilding or anything in between. Like, how have you confronted self-talk or how do you change it?
So, for example, say a similar story to yours, when I was doing the Ironman was all about every single, like in the marathon, every second K had a little drink station, and then there was also a sign on every K. So I just kept saying to myself, just get to the next K, get to the next K. So that was obviously after a lot of other stuff that I'd done that day. But I just remember going to the zone where I just broke it down into bite-sized pieces. So often I would do that even now. So even with the comps coming up, all I can do is break it down into one day at a time. So that works really well for me. I also very much don't look at what others do. So I don't go, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. I very much focus inward, and I've always done that. I haven't really learned something out at the start of the day. People do stuff and try and like, is it clean hat to do the other one? So I have my cap on, right? And I remember turning it and going, oh, look, and then the fireman, and I thought, whoa, she just did something to me. And I thought, I'll never let that happen. Again, so it's really important, especially saying this bodybuilding side of it. If you start to look at people, what they're doing, what they're claiming to do, and you move away from yourself and what you need to do, you get to start feeling struggling. So for me, it's very, very important to stay in my lane. And whatever my lane is that day, that's what I do. And I really now also want to do more or do less than what I need to do. So I tell myself, this is what.
I have a similar example where this thing I used to do when I was at a time when I didn't own a car and I just had a car and I was commuting to work. And at the time I was working at the gym, it was 1PA, and the gym was about 15 or 20 kilometers away. So it was maybe like a half. And of course, I ended up being put on like an open gym. Open would start like 5 a.m. So it's not there in the gym and the swimming pool and everything like that. So in the dead of winter, it's cold. And if I was starting at 5 o'clock, you know, I'd be leaving home just after 4. It's like a half an hour cycle. I at least had a shower after the cycle, so and then I'll get ready to work, right?
Yeah.
And there's so many times in the classic Melbourne winter time where I just didn't want to cycle. Yeah. And at the time I was lucky enough to be living at home. So I could have at any time just worked out my mum, you know, mum to drive me to work. But then I have to then figure out how to get home. And then after 3 years, we're just waking up my mom, like, why don't I do that?
Right? Yeah.
Not when you're an adult, when you're a kid. Right? So here I was, like, telling myself, all right, well, hey, let's negotiate. Let's make a deal. If you get on your bike and just cycle around the corner, and around the corner used to be a petrol station. So you just say, all right, let's get to the petrol station. And then if you don't want to cycle the rest of the way, which is another like 25 minutes, you can turn around, go home, wake up mom, and then move to deal with. And it'll end up being that same time. So every time I'm like, all right, just get your pants on, get your shoes on, get your backpack on, helmet on the road, start cycling, cycle. 5 minutes later, I'm at the petrol station, I'm warmed up, ready to go. And then at that point, I'm like, well, I'm basically there, right?
Yeah,
all the hard work is done.
And waking up your mom.
So what I used to do was kind of make, tell myself a little lie. So to overcome my barriers, my apprehension, what I wanted to do, I thought I was going to be wise, but I'm just But when I go on the train, I'll be like, I'll just go to the gym and do maybe one set. Or even, I do it around home as well. So when I, you know, don't want to be difficult, put away like this room, couple of floors. Or if I don't want to vacuum the house, I'll just vacuum like the living room. That's where most of the stuff is. I'll just vacuum there and the next thing I can pop back. Or even gardening. I'll just leave this area of garden. And then I end up mowing the lawn and cutting the edges and all those things. So it's like just telling yourself like little white lies to get yourself going. But sometimes that's enough to kind of overpower this constant self-thought of, oh, I don't want to do it. I'm stuck in this rut, or, you know, I don't want to make this change. So it's really good momentum that comes like life. Have you ever done that? Do you lie to yourself?
All the time. All the time. Yeah. I mean, even down to obviously, like, I take gym classes very early every day. And so I will sometimes have it feel like it. I'll wake up and say, oh, well, you don't have to do the class today. Just get up and have your coffee and see how you feel. Even though there's like, you know, 12 people waiting for me or something. I'm like, you'll figure that out. You'll figure that out. You don't have to do it. Not today. And then, once I'm up and then I've done the things that I need to do and then I see everybody there, it's obviously game on.
Game on.
And then, it's the work. But I still, even though I have to, I still tell myself the story to get myself going. Absolutely. But if I'm doing, turning up to the gym, even sometimes now, like, because I'm more of a calorie deficit thing, I have to say, oh, well, I'm not going to put in that much effort, just as long as I show up to do the class. And then once I get there, I start with whatever reps I have to do, and I'm like, just do whatever you can with this exercise and max yourself out, or whatever, you know, whatever I'm doing with your energy, and then it doesn't matter about the rest of the workout. I always say stuff like that. Always. And then I find a way to continue, you know, lie to myself the whole time. To just get through it. I think it's just about breaking things down into bite-sized pieces.
Yeah.
And I've seen on the Facebook a few people sitting in their cars outside of the gym going, like, I don't want to go even in the front. They manage to get to that point, but then they get stuck in the car. And I think the best thing is sort of like you with your squat or even with the petrol station flow. Once you're at that point, it's like make it freaking painless and keep going. So try not to get stuck once you've got the momentum in your study. You don't want to get stuck at any of the points because you can still go back at any time. And the main thing is you don't want that to become a habit for your life. Because if you hadn't have done that, it wouldn't have really mattered like the 2 reps. But what if you then said in the next time, in 4 weeks' time, you said, oh, I didn't do it last time, so it's just why don't
do it now?
And that's where it becomes a habit. Those bad, those things that are not going to keep you forward become a habit. You don't keep doing it every single time.
So you really said it, like, you know, when we look at habits, you know, like you're thinking of things like a habit or you know, meal prepping as a habit, or you know, going to the gym as a habit, but really like that kind of self-talk becomes a habit as well. Because if you constantly refer to yourself as a certain identity, like, I don't know, let's do something extreme, like, oh, I'm a fat person, I sit on a couch, and I'm a swap, right? That's, you know, the self-talk that you keep talking to yourself with becomes a habit, it becomes who you are, and your go-to, you know, identity is that. Or if you're someone that, oh, you know, I always give up at the last time. You know? That's what you have it.
You have ingrained in your very being, and it's your story that you didn't see it. And the lucky thing is that you can change your story at any time.
Your whole intent, right?
Yeah.
But
so important.
And I think sometimes we refer to this as kind of like the noise in our head, maybe this like monkey brain that's always like, you know, lots of voices in our head. Like, not knowing like, there's always these little nag in our head, oh, you're not good enough for this, or, you know, this isn't who you are, and, you know, these negative
Someone
things.
Someone might have told you something,
right?
Stayed with you something.
And, you know, maybe this is very much outside of our space, right, or about our paper, you know, but maybe it is a time to go and seek help for if you are experiencing lots of noise in your head. But I think there are things that you can do now to make those changes.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, kind of constructed maybe like 3 steps you can do, right? So step one would be to listen to it, right? So whatever these voices are in there, it is to listen to it. Maybe there is this thought, this idea, this thing that's been ingrained in your head that you are this person that's out of shape, you are this person that doesn't enjoy exercising or you like things and all these other things that come with it. And just listen to it, observe it, be the observer. And that might be grounded in some like philosophical viewpoint, maybe like Buddhism or something similar. But your first step is just to acknowledge it, it exists, and listen to it, and saying, okay, what does it happen? Like, so I learn it. The next step would be to challenge. We're challenging our self-belief. So if we're listening to ourselves and your self-talk is calling you a slob, you're untidy, you're unorganized. I'm always busy, I never lose weight, and rah, 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 whatever it is, you challenge them. You're like, well, am I really a slob? Well, like, my house is tidy, you know, I put my shoes on today, I got out of bed, I'm not really.
Yeah, I've got all the best hair ever, right? My makeup. Fantastic,
right?
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Or maybe you tell yourself, oh, I'm lazy. It's like, well, are you?
Yeah,
like,
you've got your own business.
You've got your own business. You look after 3 kids and you're an entrepreneur in between. Like, well, are you really lazy? I don't think you are. So then after you listen to what your voice has to say, the next step would be to challenge it. Going, well, maybe that's not quite right. And if you keep telling yourself, oh, I'm not strong in the gym, are you? I mean, you're lifting 10 kilos. That's pretty strong. That's stronger. That's more than a carton of milk, right? Mm-hmm. So you can challenge those beliefs, right? Once you challenge those beliefs and really determine if they're there or not, you start changing them, right? Which is the hard part. And sometimes it takes conscious effort to make the change. So maybe you go down a path of affirmation. And you use affirmation for you go, I am strong, I am fit, I am healthy,
whatever. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I am strong is just something that I decided for myself one day. I always say myself, I'm a beast.
Yeah.
I just say that, like, I'm a beast. And, like, it doesn't matter what else happens in my life, I know that I'm physically strong.
Yeah.
And so that's just something that I really have to worry about. Even if I have to step back, I know that I'm strong enough to get past that physically.
Yeah, yeah. That's I'm strong. Affirmation could be anything. Affirmation could just be being aware of your language. Like, on my computer desktop, I have that picture of Arnold where he's like, bodybuilding, he said conquer. But for me, you know, I'm conquering everything I do. I conquer, you know, my professional world, I conquer my fitness world, I conquer my relationships, I conquer, you know, things like I take control and I take over most things that I do. So that language that I use from day to day starts being embedded, right? I'm like kind of sowing the seeds and then that becomes my personality, right?
Yeah.
But you know, affirmations could be as simple as a vision board, right?
Yeah.
You used a vision board before?
Yes, I have. I've got one going on now. So, very important to do that because they do come through. They 100% do.
Yep.
Whatever's on there is what's going to happen.
Yep. Yep. For my first and only vision board, I had a poster of the show up on my room. Mm-hmm. So every time I'd wake up, every time I'd go to my room, I'd see this poster, this bodybuilder up on the wall and the shirt. I was like, oh, damn, this is what I gotta do. So I was like constantly reminded, and that kind of dictated all the decisions that day, dictated myself over. Like, oh, well, is my actions right now gonna get me closer to that shirt? Well, no, I'm not gonna eat that chocolate bar. No, I'm not gonna go out and get takeout with my buddy. I am gonna go to the gym, I'm gonna get my steps up. So that kind of dictated the self-talk that I did day to day. So that was the way that I changed. You know, we use things like affirmation, we use things like vision building, right? And the last thing that we can really use is this idea of mentoring, right? Where you might have a person, a mentor, an identity, an ego that you aspire to be, right? That could be someone that you know, like maybe a parent, maybe a friend, maybe a colleague. That could be someone like maybe a celebrity. Like for me, I often look at someone like The Rock, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, oh, look at that guy. He's jacked, he's charismatic, he's a public speaker, like this is someone that I want to be at, right? So I often go, well, what am I going to do in this moment? What would The Rock do?
Yes, right? I love that.
So this is like self-talk. Yeah. And then it could also just be like a kind of identity or brand or image that you have, like, oh, if I want to be this angelic person, like what kind of thoughts would that person have? How would that person act, right?
Mm.
So then we go, okay, how do we change our self-talk? First step is to listen to it. Next step is to challenge it, and finally is to change it. And to do that through things like affirmation, vision boards, or mentoring.
Mm.
Kind of throwing a bunch of things. Do you have any other ways that you can kind of like change yourself?
Yes. For me, I think what I've found pretty good is asking myself the pros and cons of what it is that I don't necessarily want to do. Just say, I don't want to go to the gym. Okay, so let's break it down. Let's be really smart about this. What are the pros of going to the gym for that?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the cons? So the pros are, you know, I'll get closer to my goal, I'll feel fantastic. So immediate reward plus a long-term reward plus I'll, you know, tick off my routine, I'll feel satisfied, it's part of my day already. Mm-hmm. And the cons are, well, I don't feel like it. Right. So then you add that up and you go, which one's going to win? So for me, it's always because I have those long-term reasons, values and goals set in place, it's a pretty clear path. So I haven't let myself down yet. So this is like, I mean, probably 10 years of like gym training, you know, and I'm honestly telling you I haven't been in time. And so it must work. Because there are also times when I have not felt like it. And I think also not worrying about what you feel like. I think that's something that's worth unpacking because we can be a real slave to our feelings. So it's like, even for me, I've had to learn. So for example, with food, I can not forget, but I can not even find emotions. I can not eat. And so what I've had to learn is like, if you're feeling like all knocking and things like that, for your goal, you actually need to fuel the body. You know, you can't just disconnect. So I've got sort of that opposite thing to sort of binging thing. I've got to see where I'll just shut everything down. So I feel like I've learned to just not be a slave to my feelings in terms of my physical body. So there's other times when you've got to lose your feelings, but for me, I've found it not letting it all take over and moving very, very quickly through the day in the morning. So my husband will sit down and have a nice coffee and then chill out. Mm. And because he's an evening exercise, whereas I've got to get my stuff done in the morning. So I don't have the ability, because if I sit down, I might not get it done. So I know stand up, get it done, do that move, so keep that momentum going. That works a lot for me. So the pros and cons, and always it aligns with my long term vision. So the challenges, your long term vision might be as simple as just get a little bit healthier in terms of your approach to the food. So then you can go, okay, so in this week six, am I aligning with my values and kind of have this approach towards food when I'm in the supermarket and I'm still reaching for the food that might not necessarily get me towards those goals?
Yeah.
Or the pros of having chocolate right now, okay, it's gonna make me feel good. Is it while you're eating it or after? Like, is it during? Is that taste sensation? So you have to sort of break that down.
Have you gone and had something like a chocolate bar? And yeah, I do it. I'm not perfect, right? Where it feels great in the moment, but then afterwards
you feel
like,
absolutely. Yeah. And I try and channel that feeling. I try and channel that feeling we have in. I try and channel the feeling that I'm going to feel after it. And this is not ridiculous stuff. I mean, because my goals are pretty lofty at the moment, they're pretty high. So a chocolate bar is going to make or break me. But for a normal person, like in terms of if you've just got normal goals of just being generally healthy, then in the challenge phase, I think it's a good time to actually practice not having those things. I really do. It doesn't mean forever, but I think it's interesting to play with your brain and go, what is it that I really want? And another trick is to go, you can have it. You can have it if you want to. You can have it. Instead of going, you know, I can't have it. So you can have it. Just wait a minute and check if you really want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a drink of water. Have some tea. If you really want it. You really want it. Just stick with that for a little while and that one works too. So, you know, you can have whatever you want, but you've chosen to not.
Yeah. So it hurts that somewhere before, I think it was referred to as like a 10-minute test. Because like if you want something, wait 10 minutes and then decide again if you want it. And you can do that across almost any part of your life. Like, you know, if you want that chocolate bar, wait 10 minutes if you want it. If you want to make that purchase, wait 10 minutes if you actually want it. So you want to send that angry email or send them if you actually want to, right? So maybe that is a takeaway. You're like, before you do something, apply the 10-minute test and you're like, all right, you actually want that.
I know. Yeah. 10 minutes is only kind of second. It's not that long to wait, but it can actually change your entire dynamic. And sort of it becomes a habit to wait and just see if that's what you really want.
Yeah.
Because say like chocolate is an example, sometimes your body's craving something else as well. So say with the gym even one more week, a little hack is make the trip to the gym pleasant. Mm. Like I listen to podcasts and other things that get me pumped and in the mood to go. So the thing is like you don't have to make it all into torture. So even with the chocolate thing, it doesn't have to be torture. You can actually be really proud of yourself and making a difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the script of your self talk and go, I've deprived myself to I am making the best choices. And you just go, in this day, in this moment I made that choice. Tomorrow I might decide to have that caramel for whatever it is.
Mm.
But today I haven't.
Yeah, I like it.
Hmm.
Another story for you.
Oh yeah.
You like it.
Oh yeah, I love stories.
So while I was Olympic weightlifting, there were certain barriers that I had to kind of break through as I kind of moved up the weight. And I remember being stuck around this 110, 115 kilo mark of a clean. Right? And I would go up to the bar and I used to talk to myself and go, okay, I need to grip on. And then we're pushing through the tripod foot as we lift. And then we're going to time the first pull, second pull, and third pull to get under. So in my eyes, I was thinking about lots of different things. Right? And what ended up happening was as I was thinking about lots of different things, that's when things would fall apart. Right? So I guess I was kind of overcomplicating the process. I was overanalyzing it. I was giving myself too much self-talk, where this kind of monkey brain was on the loose. Yeah, mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, well, you need to brace, you need to lift, you need to press, you need to push through your quads. And then at the right moment, you need to push through your calves as well to get that little bit of a push on that bar so you can get underneath it.
It is complex, though.
It's complex.
Yeah.
But then what ended up happening was I kept on missing this lift. Mm. Why am I missing this lift all the time? And it wasn't until like I was somewhat distracted and frustrated that I was just like, just pick up the damn thing. And then I went to pick it up and I almost power cleaned it where it was right on my shoulder. I was like, oh, that was easy, right? So I think sometimes, you know, self-talk is a balance of, you know, talking yourself into doing something. But then sometimes self-talk is
I've got the same sort of Olympic lifting story where my old coach used to say, be like a child, just play with it. Just play with the bar. Obviously, mine wasn't 100% so I would have got myself a die. So, you know, it was just play with it, have some fun with it.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Yeah. Not everything has to be torture. So even going to the gym, have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Like that's back into the listen to a podcast, listen to your favorite songs on the way, you know?
And even times down to like right now, like you might not be able to see this, but Nick is sitting here wearing a tutu. Right?
There it is.
And,
this
you know,
is workplace fun.
So, you know, Tutu Tuesday was started by Peter Jones and started about a year ago on the Facebook group. And it's kind of blown up in the Facebook group, become quite popular.
Mm.
And I like it. You know, Peter's even sent me a tutu.
I know. Thank you, Peter. This is so nice. It's exactly the color that I wanted.
And I think, you know, even when we think about that, you know, it's kind of poking fun at who we are or taking that step back of, you know, our seriousness in training or our kind of like self-perceived ego about being rough and tough and, you know, or being kind of complicating the process. But sometimes it can be really simple. Like, you know, if we think of Olympic weightlifting, pick up the damn bar, right?
Yeah.
A deadlift, pick it up off the floor. Dieting, it's like, well, you know, we need to control our energy balance, you know, consuming less energy than we expend, right? So sometimes it really comes down to just a really simple story, a really simple narrative. But then us being humans, we like to overcomplicate.
Oh, we do.
Right? And often when we're making changes, we overcomplicate. And we see it in the challenge, you know, the forum and the Facebook group and kind of like that cart before the horse where, you know, we get all these questions about, oh, what supplement do I take? And, you know, what, I think the calories are too high for me, too much protein. I don't know if it's many sets. I normally train like this and I need to do more cardio. It's like, whoa, hold on. Like, we're holding the reins here, the horse. Like, let's bring it back to basics.
Yeah.
Let's just focus on like one line of the story at a time. You're on paragraph number 17. Let's just focus on the first line.
Back to the beginning.
Back to the beginning. Like, what are we trying to do? trying to change your body composition. What do we need to do? It's just this simple equation of calories and calories. Yeah. With a few other factors.
It comes down to that, and that's the thing, and then you can dress it up after that.
So I guess, you know, if you are in a position where maybe you're overcomplicating your life, maybe you're stuck trying to progress on a deadlift and you're stuck at 100 kilos, or maybe 100 kilos is your barrier, you're going to triple digits. That's a big step. And maybe you're overcomplicating, right? And you're going, well, what am I going to do? Like, I keep building myself up. I make the process more difficult than what it is. The step is, well, what are we going to do about it, right? I think for me is to just kind of break it down to one moment. You know, like, what am I trying to do? You said perfectly, it's like, be like a child. But what, in essence, if we were to be fluid with it, what are we trying to achieve? Yeah. Kind of pick the better off the floor, right?
That's right. And the child is not attached to a specific number.
No.
That's the thing. They're just like, can I lift it or can I not?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to do these types of things when I was one-on-one coaching people, but I wouldn't tell them what weight to the bar.
Yes.
And they used to get like, that's almost better results.
That's my favorite thing. I actually really like that. And I sometimes... Yeah, I used to just close my eyes to whatever weight it was, and I'd be able to lift a lot more. Like, there was one time when I did, I think it was like 160 kilos deadlift, and it's because I thought it was 140. I thought it was, and it just shows you how powerful your mind is. And yet, like, if I put 140 on there these days, that's my mental block, where it's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
So, say, like, a 130 can be the guarantee.
Yeah.
I know every day, all day, but it's like I still have that block. Why? You know, it's just a mental thing.
Well, you've kind of heard those stories of, you know, people with superhuman strength where they're able to pick up a car because their loved one is in the car.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of a barrier we place on ourselves, how much pressure we put on the brakes to stop ourselves from doing things. And, you know, maybe this is a very deep question. Maybe this is some people who are something like crazy. I was like, well, why do we keep self-limiting ourselves? Like, why do we keep putting voices in our head or ideas in our head that, you know, we're not good enough, we can't live that way, you know, we're not good enough to be lean and fit and healthy, have the body that we want, be confident, be successful, all these things, you know, why do these voices come in our head? And right now, I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has an answer. I mean, actually, the only person that has an answer is you, right?
Yeah.
You personally have an answer, like, why do I keep self-limiting myself, right? Why do I keep thinking that rep number 10 is going to be hard? When, you know, I could have got 12, 14, 15, 16 reps. You know that. Why did I put those limits to myself? How do I go through those things? I don't have those answers. And sometimes it is a bit of a block. We need a distraction. We need a bit of quietness with our self-talk. Where we need to practice some meditation. Maybe some weightlifting meditation where we're focusing on the moment where we don't think about anything other than doing the task. Right, where we don't overcomplicate it, where we take control of our self-talk, and that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, just go blank for a while, because that also removes a lot of pressure from yourself. I think we tend to put pressure on ourselves, you know, to achieve. Once you've had a taste of achieving something, you just want to achieve more and more.
Mm.
And so you can put a lot of pressure on yourself, but you've got to remember it's you versus you at the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah.
And really, the only person that will ultimately go into that down, it sounds like a cliche, is yourself.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, like with your health, broader spectrum, like your family, you know, so that's important. But in terms of personal goals, the only person that's going to walk out of that being disappointed is you.
Yeah. I think in closing, you know, it really comes down to you're like the writer of your story, you're the storyteller.
You can change it at any time.
That voice, that dialogue in your head, is something you can control. At the moment, you might be thinking that you can't control it, but really you do. You know, you decide on the language you want to use, you decide on the way that you view yourself, you choose your ego, right? As in who you think of yourself as. Once you take control of that, once you start changing that self-talk, change the language that you use, change the identity that you think of yourself as, that's when something changes. That's when, you know, you could get 20 kilo gains on your deadlift. That's when you can, you know, lose rapid amounts of weight really quickly. That's when you make these big behavior changes to get up off the couch and walk these types of things. And it really comes down to sometimes a bit of a negotiation, sometimes a little bit of like sales tactics on yourself. You're kind of like a used car salesman on yourself, being like, oh, yeah, you can do one more rep. You can go that extra mile. You can get out of bed and do those things. Sometimes you just almost lie to yourself to get yourself into those things. But you find that once you kind of start, obviously.
Yeah, it's sort of like you've got to fake it till you make it sometimes with yourself. You've got to go, I've already been into the gym, so, you know, like today, even if you haven't, and you kind of visualize that future at the end of the day, and you go, I've gone to the gym already, so I have to do it.
Yeah.
You just got to, and write it down. That's another thing, like, people, when people don't write down what it is that they actually want, if you don't think, because how are you meant to work towards what you don't know that you want? If you have this dialogue that you hate the gym, or you don't like going or things like that, maybe you need to write down why and then unpack that. So that's another thing, just write it down.
Write it down why. Any other questions for?
Stay with this. It's an ongoing project for all of us. You know, it's not something that you can solve. I think it's something that we work on every day and we all do. So every single one of us is doing that all the time. We're just all trying to get better.
We're all trying to get better. Never said we were.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll catch you next time for the Challenge Weekly Show.
Thank you.